Did you already start it?
Maybe.
Okay. Analysis based on neo-Marxian and dependency center-periphery models that were popular in the 1960s and 1970s do not begin to capture the complexity of emerging transnational systems. This chapter represents a conscious attempt to bring the discussion of globalism down to earth, focusing on one local culture. The people of Hong Kong have embraced American-style fast foods, and by doing so they might appear to be in the vanguard of a world culinary revolution. But they have not been stripped of their cultural traditions, nor have they... There's an ant again in my book. Oh, there's three. Dang it. Nor have they become Americanized in any but the most superficial of ways. Hong Kong in the late 1990s constitutes one of the world's most heterogeneous cultural environments. Younger people in particular are fully conversant in transnational idioms, which include language, music, sports, clothing, satellite television, cyber communications, global travel, and of course, cuisine. It is no longer possible to distinguish what is local and what is not. In Hong Kong, as I hope to show in this chapter, the transnational is the local. Eating out, a social history of consumption. Do you find this interesting?
No, probably.
By the time McDonald's opened its first Hong Kong restaurant in 1975, the idea of fast food was already well established among local consumers. Office workers, job assistants, teachers, and transport workers have enjoyed various forms of takeout cuisine for well over a century. An entire industry had emerged to deliver midday meals direct to workplaces. In the 1960s and 1970s, thousands of street vendors produced snacks and simple meals on demand, day or night. Time has always been money in Hong Kong, hence the dual keys to success in the catering trade were speed and convenience. Another essential characteristic was that the food, based primarily on rice or noodles, had to be hot. Even the most cosmopolitan of local consumers did not, and many still do not, consider cold foods, such as sandwiches and salads, to be acceptable meals. I don't know. This is in Japan. Sushi is Japanese, isn't it? This is Hong Kong.
I don't know if we just expect there to be crossover.
There's a lot of differences between Japan and China.
Then again, Asians hate each other.
Like, actually, we were having this discussion between cuisine, like, Japanese way of their food and the Chinese way of cooking and food. This was during my Design of the Garden class, actually, that we talked about that, weirdly enough.
Ping likes sushi.
They didn't say they didn't like it, but what is considered Chinese food versus Japanese food is different. Anyway, the fast food industry in Hong Kong had to deliver hot items that could compete with traditional purveyors of convenience foods, parentheses, noodle shop, dumpling stall, soup carts, portable grills. The first modern chain to enter the fray was Café de Corel, a local corporation that began operation in 1969 and is still a dominant player in the Hong Kong fast food market, with 109 outlets and a 25% market share compared to McDonald's 20% market share in 1994. Café de Corel's strategy was simple. It moved Hong Kong's street food indoors to a clean, well-lighted cafeteria that offered instant service and moderate prices. Popular Cantonese items were then combined with sinicized Western foods that have been popular in Hong Kong for decades. Café de Corel's menu reads like the locus classicus of Pacific Rim cuisine. Deep-fried chicken wings, curry on rice, hot dogs, roast pork.
Oh.
You don't like pig. And soup noodles.
I was going with it.
Spaghetti with meatballs. Barbecue ribs, red bean sundaes, Ovaltine.
Wait, red bean sundaes?
I think that's a thing there or something. I've heard of it. Ovaltine.
Ovaltine.
Chinese like tea. Old. Yeah. It's classic. And Coca-Cola with lemon, hot or cold. What? Coca-Cola with lemon, hot or cold.
Did you ever try the Pepsi with lemon?
Yeah.
That's okay. So good.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, I like it, actually. The formula was so successful, it spawned dozens of imitators, including three full-scale chains. American-style fast foods were, of course, familiar to many Hong Kong travelers, but it was not until McDonald's opened its first restaurant January 8th. That's my birthday.
Oh, crap.
McDonald's opened its first restaurant on January 8th, 1975, that ordinary consumers had a chance to sample this cuisine. The three elements of McDonald's basic set, hamburger, fries, Coke, had all been available in Hong Kong since at least the mid-1950s. Hamburgers were offered primarily as children's food at Hong Kong's ubiquitous Russian restaurants, with names such as
Chertikov's
and
Chanticleer, which sounds like French.
Yeah, it would be like Chanticleer. Run by immigrants who had fled Russia and then Shanghai in the wake of communist takeovers. It was these establishments and in the coffee shops of major hotels that the Hong Kong middle classes learned to eat Western food. People who had a basis for comparison always avoided locally produced hamburgers, British-style chips, quote-unquote, thick-cut deep-fried potatoes, were similarly available in Hong Kong, but never appealed to Chinese consumers. Coca-Cola, by contrast, had since its introduction in the late 1940s become one of the colony's most popular beverages. McDonald's mid-1970s entry also corresponded to an economic boom associated with Hong Kong's conversion from a low-wage light industrial... With Hong Kong's conversion from a low-wage light industrial outpost to a regional center for financial services and high-technology industries, McDonald's takeoff thus paralleled the rise of a new class of highly educated, affluent consumers who thrive in Hong Kong's ever-changing urban environment, one of the most stressful in the world. These new consumers eat out more often than their parents and have created a huge demand for fast, convenient foods of all types. In order to compete in this market, McDonald's had to offer something different. The critical difference, at least during the company's first decade of operation, was American culture packaged as all-American middle-class food. To understand how an American chain became a leading player in Hong Kong's culinary scene, one has to consider the role of management. Daniel Nick, managing director and character franchise owner of McDonald's Hong Kong, termed what rivals had dismissed as a losing proposition. Hamburgers.
You don't have to. It'll still work when it's off like that.
Okay. I just like seeing it. It's okay.
It looks even cooler when it actually follows and you can see the. I don't know why it hasn't ever since I updated it.
Made the fateful decision not to compete with local Chinese cuisine. As he put it to me, if I had hired the best chef in Hong Kong to make Chinese dumplings for us, no one would come because no one would believe an American restaurant can produce good dumplings. I wouldn't have come myself. What would attract local customers, he decided, was straightforward, uncompromising American food. During the first few years, the chain's name, McDonald's, was not translated, but was displayed deliberately in English to emphasize its foreign character. Only after the company had established itself and its identification as a producer of quality products was secured, did Mr. Nick decide to transliterate the name into Chinese characters. The transliteration process was a delicate one, given the long history of disasters attending the rendition of foreign names in Chinese. Mr. Nick decided to capture the sound of McDonald's in three homophonic characters rather than create a name that would convey meaning, thus making the company appear to be Chinese enterprise. To be a Chinese enterprise. Many local people reacted badly when Kentucky Fried Chicken first entered the Hong Kong market and chose a Chinese name that meant literally hometown chicken. Kentucky is certainly not my hometown, one longtime resident exclaimed. KFC later dropped its name and began using a transliterate title based on sound rather than literal meaning. Hong Kong McDonald's hoped to avoid confusion by adopting a version of the three-character phrase used to represent a well-known local street, McDonald Road. In the company's first attempt, the last character was written as the common term for female slave. What?
New.
And after much discussion, it was dropped in favor of Lao, the dictionary meaning of which is labor or work. The resulting name is pronounced Mak Dong Lo in Cantonese, or Mai Dong Lo in Mandarin. I really don't know if I'm pronouncing that correct, but...
I'm sure you're not.
Taking together these characters convey no obvious meaning, but any speaker of Chinese will instantly recognize the construction as the transliteration of a foreign name. It thus captures the message that Mr. Nick and his staff hoped to impart to the Hong Kong consumer. This place offers something different.
Don't look ahead.
I always look ahead.
Well, now you're going to get all crestfallen about it.
I really want McDonald's. Every time we talk about McDonald's in class, I'm like, oh, now I just want to eat it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That place is like, if you want to lose weight and you want to go to McDonald's.
Well, I want to get the fish sandwich.
That's not healthy.
Healthier than a Big Mac.
That's like as healthy as a salad.
Dang it. Mental categories. Snack versus meal. As in other parts of East Asia, McDonald's faced a serious problem when it began operation in Hong Kong. Hamburgers, fries, and sandwiches were perceived as snacks. Cantonese souseek literally small eats, in quotes. In the local view, these items did not constitute the elements of a proper meal. This perception is still prevalent among older, more conservative consumers who believe that hamburgers, hot dogs, and pizza can never be filling. Many students stop at fast food outlets on their way home from school. They may share hamburgers and fries with their classmates and then eat a full meal with their families at home.
They're not fat.
Yeah, I don't know. This is not considered a problem by parents who themselves are likely to have stopped for tea and snacks after work. Snacking with friends and colleagues provides a major opportunity for socializing and transacting business among Southern Chinese. Tea houses, coffee shops, bakeries, and ice cream parlors are popular precisely because they provide a structured yet informal setting for social encounters. Furthermore, unlike Chinese restaurants and banquet halls, snack centers do not command a great deal of time or money from customers. Contrary to corporate goals...
That is one thing I love about McDonald's. You're in, you're out, you eat the food, it's done.
I should go to McDonald's and do this homework there.
You want to?
I can read this in McDonald's?
I think that would be awesome.
I could actually. Let me finish...
Don't say this chapter.
No, not because that's what I need to read is this chapter. Actually, I have to read two chapters, but I'd like to just get done with one.
Jeez, Jeff.
What? Actually, I'm behind. I was supposed to have read the intro, chapter
what do you
one,
mean, actually?
Three, and four.
What's this actually part?
What do you mean actually?
Is it actually I'm behind?
Like, this class?
It's like saying, actually, water is blue.
Well... I'll have you know that...
Actually, the sun provides light.
Fine. Maybe actually was the wrong word. But... in light of having to read chapter 2 and 5, I had never read the intro, chapter 1, 3, or 4.
You need to read the intro.
I was supposed to have already. And I never finished that other book, which actually I do plan on finishing because it's a good book, but I'm just a very poor reader. I don't sit down.
I know, you're black. I told you, black people do stuff.
All right. But if we go to McDonald's and I read this, can I actually eat McDonald's for lunch?
That sounds good.
What, McDonald's for lunch?
Yeah.
I thought you said you didn't like the fact that I wanted McDonald's.
I know, but it's McDonald's.
I thought you didn't like McDonald's.
I like it in that same way, like, that I like eating a whole jar of salsa and then being totally useless for the rest of the day.
Hmm. Well, let me finish this section. It's almost done. Contrary to corporate goals, therefore, McDonald's entered the Hong Kong market as a purveyor of snacks. Only since the late 1980s has its fare been treated as the foundation of meals by a generation of younger consumers who regularly eat non-Chinese food. Thanks largely to McDonald's, hamburgers and fries are now a recognized feature of Hong Kong's lunch scene. The evening hours remain, however, the weak link in McDonald's marketing plan. The real surprise was breakfast, which became a peak traffic period. More on this below. The mental universe of Hong Kong consumers is partially revealed in the everyday use of language. Hamburgers are referred to in colloquial Cantonese as Han Bo Bao Han. Oh, Han Bo Ba. Han being a homophone for ham, and bao the common term for stuffed buns or bread rolls. Bao are quintessential snacks, and however excellent or nutritious they might be, they do not constitute the basis of a satisfying, i.e. filling, meal. In South China, that honor is reserved for culinary arrangements that rest literally on a bed of rice. Fun. Foods that accompany rice are referred to as sung, probably best translated as toppings, including meat, fish, and vegetables. Meat, fish, and vegetables are considered toppings?
Yeah, these people have it all backwards.
It's probably better for your health that way.
Meat, fish, and vegetables being toppings?
Oh, I guess vegetables, I don't know.
What's the main course if those are toppings? Like meat?
Let me get to it, maybe
bread?
I can say.
I think it's just noodles.
Maybe, but if they said quintessential part of the day and that was bread, they probably have it 5 times a day.
I think so.
Yeah, bread are quintessential snacks.
What's quintessential?
Essential, and quint is 5.
You keep saying quintessential, you mean quintessential?
Quintessential, yeah, you're right. Sorry, quintessential snacks. It is significant that hamburgers are rarely categorized as meat. Parentheses, yuck. Yuck. Hong Kong consumers tend to perceive anything that is served between slices of bread, Big Macs, fish sandwiches, hot dogs, as bao. In American culture, the hamburger is categorized first and foremost as a meat item, with all the attendant worries about fat and cholesterol content, whereas in Hong Kong, the same item is thought of primarily as bread. Hmm. Okay, well, that's the end of that section.
That's so weird. It's like
they're bad. It's like they're thinking completely opposite to us.
Yeah.
Just don't look at it.
It's not too bad. It's just.